Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
1, 2, 3, 4. Get up.
Get on up.
Get up.
Get on up.
Stay on the scene.
Get on up.
Like a sex machine.
Get on up.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. 92.9thegame.com. Good morning, Georgia.
Morning.
It's Sam and Greg. Remember, you can check us out. Not only we are here from, well, now 6 a.m. until 10, be sure to tell everybody you know. And Sam and Greg are back. I know that's, I always think that reminds me of a song.
It is.
That's right, B.B. King and Bobby Bland.
Let the good times roll.
Tell them know that Sam and Greg are back in town. You can also check us out on the radio.com app and all your devices, including smart speakers. And as we get into the show, take a second and just acknowledge the obvious. Joe Namath is 77 years old today.
Are you serious?
Yes. Yes, he is. This is, as you know, you can't just say Joe Namath, right? Those of us with certain needs.
No, we got to
say all 3 days. Give it to me, Sam.
Joe Willie Namath. Broadway Joe. Right there.
You know what? It's funny. I never thought about that. He had like two names, and one was his real name as a nickname.
Yeah.
But you're doing your Howard Cosell impression, and then, you know, Broadway Joe. Anyway,
Monday Night Football.
Anyway, as we come on here this morning, Sam and I, just all manner
what
of...
What a week. What a week and what a past 2 days, huh?
Just mixed emotions and trying to understand and wrap your mind about what we've been seeing. Most of us have been in front of the TV for the last, 36 hours? 48 almost?
I would say.
Watching all this craziness play out and... This is one of those shows that, you know, where you don't know where to start. There is no really good way to start. That's actually kind of why I started with the little lighthearted Joe Namath thing. But how much time would you say you spent in front of the TV, Sam, watching the events of this past week?
Just glued to it, especially at nighttime, because that's when things ramped up and unfortunately went in some different directions that I don't think were intended by people who started things. But when you get in a situation where emotions are highly charged, and I won't say whether great parameters were set before some of the people got involved, but you know, things just went in a different direction, and it had some awful consequences, and it also tarnished the way some people look at some cities, especially our city. I mean, we've seen it happen all over the place, but today I really want to go in on our city.
Right.
The place that we both love and the place that we notice is great, great place that people love to come to and experience, Atlanta, and how it was made to look in a different light. And some people we all know and respect came out and said, you know, no, this is not here. This can't be Atlanta. This don't happen in Atlanta. It has happened here, but how do we go forward from that and how do we respond? Last night was a different night. There were people in the streets, but our law enforcement did what our law enforcement had to do. And while most of this, you know, all the protests are about, you know, aimed at law enforcement, aimed at policing in general, painting a broad stroke over all of it. And I get that. We don't have those problems in the city of Atlanta. You know, we don't. You rarely ever hear of that type thing happen. And that's the thing that got me Friday night, is why city of Atlanta police officers basically respect the protesters. They basically respected them, you know, backed away, didn't become aggressive or agitated with them to the point of having them destroy police property.
Right.
You know, but I just said, man, our guys really don't deserve that. You know, we're not that here in our city. They dealt with that, and then last night they were given the go-ahead to be a little bit, be a bit firmer, and you know, it was a different type of night, but still not the kind of night we want to have on our streets in our city.
But it was two kinds of reactions. So once again, Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com, and we are going to be talking sports. We got some guests on that will be giving their perspectives about what happened, but it all comes back around to sports, and we're going to do our best to be a little refuge for those of you who have been in front of the TV for the last few days and watching what's going on. But just to comment on what you just said, the first night it was, and speaking of sports, it's that phrase you hear when broadcasters are trying to talk about a certain game, and you've got, you know, maybe Aaron Rodgers playing up against Tom Brady, and the announcers say, "Well, you just hope to contain him. He's going to get his, but you hope to contain him." And that's what was going on that first night, because the police didn't have time to set things in motion as far as the resources that they needed for a crowd that they weren't sure what was going to be like. Okay, and so we saw what we saw on Friday night. And again, it was more reactionary than being prepared. And they did the best they could. And so last night, what you saw is culmination of them having time to get their stuff together. You know, but I didn't know that there were that many emergency vehicles in this city that were. And here's the thing. I saw an aerial shot of Lenox, and that whole parking lot, or most of that parking lot, was filled with emergency vehicles. Okay. Then you had what was going on around the governor's mansion in West right. Paces Ferry.
Right.
And then you had just a smattering of cars. And I'm not just talking about emergency vehicles that were cars. I'm talking about SUVs. I'm talking about, I don't want to call them battery rams, but they look like, I don't know what the names of them are. They were Humvees and something else that looked very, very militaristic.
Yeah. Armored vehicles.
And so they
armored
were vehicles everywhere. And so that was my takeaway from yesterday, and knowing that, okay, you give these guys, it's kind of like, you know, and I'm sorry, but you do this. It's just human nature. You draw yourself to a movie that you look, that sticks into your mind, that you go, the last time I saw this kind of presence was in like a Die Hard movie or something. You know, it really was. That's where I went to, because I cannot remember, even during, and we're going to talk about this, is something that's happened in this city. Freaknik, for those who were old enough to remember what that was like, and those couple years where it was really bad. They tried to move it, and it wasn't as bad as those first few years. But I don't remember the police presence spread out the way it was last night. You had folks trying to get on I-85 up in your neck of the woods in Gwinnett County. Cops were ready for that.
Not just that, there was stuff happening up in Hall County in Gainesville.
Yeah, Gainesville, because there was no curfew.
What's going on in Gainesville? What's going on in Gainesville, Georgia?
I know, man. They're trying to break into Lake Lanier.
You know, at midnight, people still awake up there? No, people were awakened in the streets last night up in Gainesville, Georgia. But you know what, Greg? You talk about Freaknik. Freaknik wasn't the thing where there was a threat of violence. Somebody may have thought that somebody may have come and have some type of weapon, but it wasn't the threat of any type of violence. It was just the public nuisance at time from tying up traffic all over the place.
Exactly.
And that was
right.
To me, that was the big thing with Freaknik. This was a different thing, though. And once you realize there were some people there with bad intentions, and there are some people who come to our town, they may still be here with bad intentions. We found out a lot of the people who were doing a lot of instigating of the negativity were people who weren't from here. So they don't value what's here in our city. They didn't protect it. So that's the thing. But, you know,
you knew that was going to be the case, too. You knew that was going to be the case. Well, the people. Well, that's who the mayor was talking to. Y'all ain't from here. Get out. We saw that reminded me of when stuff was going down in Ferguson, Missouri. Right. And most of those people that were causing the problems were for St. Louis. They weren't from Ferguson. Obviously, they came from a whole lot of places with wanting to get the message out, wanting to let authorities know how we feel. But it always seems to be organized in the worst possible way.
Yeah, and that's something we're going to talk to, especially one of our guests, friend of the show, is going to join us later on, Chris Straff. We're going to talk some football with him, too, but he had an interesting perspective, very great perspective on what happened this past weekend, because it was right outside his door, literally, and we'll get into that with him as well. And we'll help by some other, you know, athletes who took part in their way in different cities, and maybe we'll get into that discussion in this course of the morning. Should athletes at this point take part in things? And And back of all of this, Greg, we're still dealing with this pandemic.
Which is the why we saw a lot of people last night.
Still don't want to go out in a crowd. Yep. I don't want to be a part of a crowd for anything right now.
Yep.
You know, but this, but people are risking that. They're risking that to get out and make a point. And what they saw and witnessed this week in Minneapolis got people to the point they couldn't take it anymore, and it's been a tipping point. So we'll get into that some this morning, along with sports, because it is happening, and we do have some people who have reacted, some leagues that have reacted to it and are weighing in. And you're going to get more and more and more of that. It's maybe one of those things where some people are watching the other to see if you know. No, you go first. No, you go first. It's going to happen. But sports, because the locker room is the thing that allows sports to be relevant at this time. Because there are a lot of people who come from different backgrounds. The locker room is the thing they have. It's where you break down the barriers and you gain that common ground. You have to, or your team, what you're there for, your purpose is not going to succeed. So sports gets to be the great metaphor and the example for people who are doing what we're doing today, what we're seeing in the streets. So to me, that's one of the recurring themes I'd like for us to get before people this morning.
Yeah, and you hope that that's the case, that people use this in the way that's, you know, that we hope that it's used as a diversion, if you will. And not that we think we're going to get people off the streets, and we're listening to elected officials talking about here. We're going to hear from Mayor Keisha, some of her words over the last... We got to put that picture up, man, by the way. The first mama of Atlanta.
Yeah, I sent you that thing, man.
We got to get that up. But just to let you know, we're going to hear from Spencer Smith later on in this hour, talking about another group of people who, because of this pandemic, haven't been able to practice their craft, but yet they got to go back to work sometime soon, and that's the officials. We have been waiting also, probably longest time, to have one of our coworkers come on, not just to talk about what's going on the street, but he is an avid outdoorsman, and that's Greg Street, man, from V103. He's going to be on with us. You mentioned Chris Draft, and of course, NASCAR's back at it again this weekend, so we're going to hear from Adam Alexander before we shut things
down.
And
Coach Collins, and Coach Jeff Collins from Georgia Tech.
Up next, we are going to let you hear the responses from our own Falcons owner, Arthur Blank, and also Roger Goodell, commissioner of the NFL, their responses to what is going on in our country. That's up next. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com, and be sure to check us out on the radio.com app and all your devices, including smart speakers.
So what I see happening on the streets of Atlanta is not Atlanta. This is not a protest. This is not in the spirit of Martin Luther King Jr. This is chaos. A protest has purpose. When Dr. King was assassinated, we didn't do this to our city.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. It's Sam and Greg. Remember, check us out on radio.com app and all your devices, including smart speakers. That, of course, the voice of Atlanta Mayor Keisha Lance Bottoms, who, by the way, put herself in a very, very, very positive light nationally when she took the podium. Not the second news conference, but her first one last night, where she spoke before T.I. came out and Killer Mike and people like that. And then she spent the day testifying before Congress on a number of issues. So her visibility rose, as well it should be anyway, but for all the unfortunate reasons. But and also you heard some music coming back by Janet Jackson as we continue. We're going to feature throughout the show today music from Minneapolis, man. Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis. Yeah. I want that fedora and them trench coats some boys used to wear back in
They used to dress it up, didn't they?
They had it. That's the way I used to dress going to church on Easter Sunday. But we will, throughout the morning, like I said, we're going to give you smatterings of some of the comments of people that have been visible this last 48 hours.
And I'll tell you, Greg, yeah. I want to say something else, too. And there's a lot of cleanup that's still going on from things that took place. And you know, I want to hear about it. I'll share it on my social media. If you want to hit me up on Twitter at SamCrenshaw23, at SamCrenshaw23. Let us know what text us on the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line, 404-741-0929. If you happen to repair some things around you, where you are, your business, you're trying to get some things boarded up or repaired, we'd like to pass that along if you want people to come by and help you out. Chris Draft, who we're going to talk to in the 8 o'clock hour, was participating in some of that. Understand that the manager, the owner of the Chick-fil-A that's next to the College Football Hall of Fame, people were just coming by volunteering to help him clean up. He was giving people Chick-fil-A sandwiches just for coming by and helping out. I mean, but you know, that's what we do. That's what our city does.
All right, so what I want to do now, Sam and I, we're going to give you some statements. One from the NFL. Roger Goodell put one out last night. And we have one from the Falcons. One of the things, though, as we were prepping for the show, which was fluid in that we weren't hearing from a lot of coaches. But since we started that conversation, some of them have come out and made some statements, and we're going to talk about that. But one of the people that we heard early and wanted to make sure we got him on the show was Coach Collins from Georgia Tech.
Yep, and he will be with us at 9 o'clock.
He's coming up. So bear with me. I'm going to read you first the statement from Arthur Blank, and his headline is Arthur Blank's statement, Bringing Atlanta Together. A number of events over the last couple of weeks have reminded us that the long, worthy quest for equal justice, civility, and unity in America is far from over. People are scared and in pain. Their frustration is real, and it must be acknowledged and addressed. More must be done to address the systemic racism. More must be done to address the underlying issues that have led to these incidences across the country. More must be done to bring people together through meaningful change. The public discourse on these and other issues is too divisive, too political. These are not political issues. They are human issues that need serious, earnest attention from leaders, citizens alike, who understand that diversity is our strength and fair treatment is everyone's right. Open, honest dialogue is needed. On a much greater scale, it is my hope that we take this terrible moment in our history to elevate that conversation toward productive action and lasting positive change. Peaceful protests of the past have led to new ways forward. Lawlessness, vandalism, and intentionally upending the peace with any form of violence has never been productive and is not the answer. We must not accept or condone violence in any way. And to be sure, Atlanta is better than what we saw in the actions of a few last night. Together we will rise above this on the strength of what has always made Atlanta great, its people, its leaders of past and present, and its unique culture that is welcoming to all. Our family foundation and the rest of our businesses here in Atlanta and elsewhere remain committed to being a part of the solution. That from Arthur Blank, owner of the Atlanta Falcons.
Yep. Well said. Well said. Timely comments as always from Mr. Blank. So everyone appreciates that. And just hearing from someone who's involved with our sports community, he knows what a galvanizing effect sports has on our city and with the Falcons and obviously with Atlanta United, who brings everybody under the same roof when they get to play. And right now, the games are not on. We're working on trying to get that going. And now we have something else to deal with, but still great to hear those comments from him.
So again, those are the words of Falcons owner Arthur Blank. Again, as the events played out, you were waiting to hear from different people. And as you said last segment, which league is going to step up? We saw this after 9/11. Which was the league that was going to step up and you know, try to bring us back? And it was the NFL. Yeah, now, shortly thereafter, because of when it happened, the World Series had happened. And of course, Atlanta was strongly in the middle of that with their matchup with the Mets. But it was the NFL that stood up first. But in this case, we did hear from Roger Goodell. It wasn't long after Arthur Blank put out their statement. And let me let you hear what the NFL has said. Again, this is from Roger Goodell. The NFL family is greatly saddened by the tragic events across our country. The protesters' reaction to these incidents reflect the pain, anger, and frustration that so many feel. Our deepest condolences go out to the family of Mr. George Martin and to those who've lost loved ones, including the families of Ms. Breonna Taylor of Louisville and Mr. Ahmaud Arbery, the cousin of Tracy Walker of the Detroit Lions. As current events dramatically underscore, there remains much, much more to do as a country and as a league. These tragedies inform the NFL's commitment. These tragedies inform the NFL's commitment to our ongoing efforts. There remains an urgent need for action, and we recognize the power of our platform in communities and as part of the fabric of American society. We embrace that responsibility and are committed to continuing the important work to address these systemic issues together with our players, clubs, and partners. That was a statement from the NFL and Roger Goodell.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's, you know, that's, and believe me, you'll still hear other things coming out from the players and from the different teams. I know we saw the San Francisco 49ers, I believe, is making $1 million donation to causes leaning towards social justice and social change. So as the days go by, we're going to hear about more and more of those type things, I believe. And then once the players come back to camp, they have an opportunity to speak and voice themselves. I think the teams will probably allow for that. Yeah, they got business to tend to. Yeah, they're going to come back and get ready for the season. They're going to do those things. But when it's something like this, that because the players see themselves, they see themselves in an individual of George Floyd, that if they didn't have the ability and the talent they have, they could end up in that same situation. So obviously they have some thoughts on those type things. Now, you know, NBA players weigh in as well, Greg. And, of course, you know, we have our marches here. All the marches here were not, you know, destructive and had, you know, looting and rioting. There were some that went off peacefully. And we had a couple of basketball players who were natives of this area who come back home, and they've gone out and took part in yesterday. Jaylen Brown
put some gas in the car, didn't he?
He drove all the way, drove from Boston.
I mean, 15 hours. That's like, that's Chicago and halfway back to Indianapolis. I mean, that's a long drive, but that's a committed person. And you're right. You're talking about the people who from afar are looking at what's going on in their city and wondering what can they do.
Yeah. So, I mean, we've known him from his days over at Wheeler High School. Malcolm Brogdon also came home to be a part of it. He went to Great Atlanta Christian School. But Jaylen Brown has these thoughts of why he made that drive and why this meant so much to him.
Being a celebrity, being an NBA player, don't exclude me from no conversation at all. First and foremost, I'm a black man, and I'm a member of this community. And I grew up on this soil, so I want to say that first and foremost. But it's a peaceful protest. We're walking. That's it. Raising awareness. Some of the injustices that we've been seeing is not okay.
Shh. And before you say anything, Sam, let me just apologize. I misspoke. See, this is what I shouldn't read on radio. I said George Martin instead of George Floyd. I want to thank Jay for catching it for me. So, but yeah. And not only you're talking about Jaylen, but we saw this with Steven Jackson too. Like Jaylen's coming home. Steven Jackson went up to Minneapolis.
Yes.
Talking about his, you know, his little brother.
Yeah, he and George Floyd had a great relationship, and he practically adopted him as like a brother, so it really stuck home with him. And he went there and was very passionate and very outspoken about his feelings about seeing this happen. And doing it, obviously, with a hope to shake some people and wake the foundation of a system that needs to be shaken. And so that's, you know, if he can lend his voice to doing that in his way, fine. We just heard Jaylen Brown doing it in his way. And, you know, you commend that. A lot of people like to talk about athletes, what they shouldn't do. But there was a chance to make a difference and lead and do it positively. Why not? And I think that's what we saw, especially with Jaylen Brown. So we applaud he and Malcolm Brogdon for coming home and being part of what they do here in their hometown.
Sam and Greg, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Remember, check us out on the radio.com app and all your devices, including smart speakers. All right, Sam, here's the question that I think some are asking themselves. I'm asking myself this. Okay, you talk about these athletes that have traveled to these cities and have become mouthpieces and hopefully connecting with those who are just not sure how to deal with this and try to bring some clarity and understanding to it. The problem for me is twofold. One is they're being broadcast on platforms that aren't being seen or heard by these people in the streets doing the knucklehead stuff. One. Two is, and we talked about this before we came on the air, whether it's Mayor Keisha, whether it's Roger Goodell, whether it's the White House telling people to go home in a time where people have been home for the last month or two and looking for any excuse to break out because of this pandemic. And Leslie, we won't even get into, pardon?
And that's the other thing that hadn't gone anywhere either.
Exactly. And you're looking at all these people who are out there, they ain't wearing masks, not wearing gloves. They're like inches from each other. And you worry about, the message gets lost at that point. And you're looking at these folks knowing this other massive thing is going on and hanging over all of us. And these people, you start going, come on, y'all, you're doing this to yourselves. Be safe. And you're sitting there talking to the television about something other than the message as to why we're looking at them out there. I mean, am I missing something? Because that's where I had to bring myself back to the message repeatedly as I've watched the last 48 hours. As I'm looking at these folks bumping up and rubbing and spitting and, right up against each other, and I'm going, man.
Yeah, nah.
Come on.
None for me. But, I mean, like you said, when you get to a boiling point, things happen and people end up in those situations. They get up there face to face and feel like they need to be in the middle of it. They're not being heard. And so that's part of where we are. Where do we go forward from here? That's the thing. Now, we talked about the NFL, and we just heard from an NBA player, and we're looking forward to them getting back, the facilities being open, full teams getting to work out, and trying to get the NBA back going, be it in Orlando or wherever, and for football, both college and pro, getting up back together. And we got somebody coming up next to talk about football and getting ready, because we've talked about the players and the coaches, but we haven't talked about the officials. And when they make a bad call, what we gonna do? We gonna yell and scream at them, but you know what? They've had to sit on the sideline like everybody else. Spencer Smith is coming up next, Greg, and he's going to spend some time with us. He's a friend of the show, and talk about high school, if not just at the high school level, but officiating and what they're doing to be ready when the games start. That's coming up next. Spencer Smith, GFOA, coming up with Sam and Greg here on this Sunday morning. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com. We are available through the radio.com app for all of smartphones, smart devices.
And keep your eyes wide, the chance won't come again.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com. Sam and Greg with you on this Sunday morning. Not in the Kia Studios, not nine floors up, but in the virtual Kia Studios. We're still glad you're with us and spending some of your Sunday morning with us on this very different kind of weekend here for us here in Atlanta. Glad you're following with us on the radio.com app and all your smartphones and smart devices, smart speakers being with us today. Greg, in the coming days, a lot of people will come back to get set for the season. And the Georgia High School Association marked June 8th. That's in just a little over a week now, a week from tomorrow, that they will reopen the facilities for conditioning, not full practices, but high schools can reopen their gyms, their practice fields, so that players can come back to the weight rooms and condition in small groups. That's the beginning of getting players back on the field and getting set for the high school football season, which is now set to start on time. Greg, we talked about the players, we talked about the facilities at the schools, but what about the guys in the striped shirts? We haven't talked about them very
who are doing lots of sit-ups right now and putting down the food that they've been enjoying during this pandemic because they've nothing going on. But now you got to get into shape.
Maybe they've been staying in shape.
Most of them have.
We have a friend of the show, Spencer Smith, Georgia Football Officials Association, joining us now on the waitfor.com hotline. Spencer, good morning.
Morning, Spencer.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are we this morning?
Well, we are doing fine. Let's ask we asked all of our guests this question right out of the right off the top. How are you and your family doing during this time?
Thank you for asking. Everybody is doing well and trying to survive through this pandemic, but moving forward and upward.
That's what we're looking for. That's what we're looking forward to. Of course, GFOA as an association, it's a long-standing, great tradition. I'm part of high school athletics and just officiating because a number of people who've gone from this level progressed to other levels of officiating. And Spencer, thoughts about how you've been able to connect and stay together, because usually during the spring, there are a number of things you do to get prepared for the fall.
Yes, that's a great question, Sam. And basically, we have already, as a member of GFOA and working there, the association has already had 5 meetings on Zoom getting prepared for the season. We're moving forward as if this is going to take place. Yes, it's going to be different, but we're going to be ready to go out there and help those young men and ladies this year perform and play in their football games. Everything's been done on Zoom, unfortunately. We probably will not be able to get a face-to-face type of meeting until sometime in July at the earliest. That is our plan as of right now. But training is moving forward.
So if you've talked to a number of the officials so far, what have you got as far as feedback from them during their stay-at-home time? Have they stayed in shape? Are they ready to go, ready to bust out themselves?
Yes, everybody is. As a matter of fact, when we had the first meeting, it was very well attended. Guys were starved for something to do because they were at home just going crazy. So people have been working out, doing their thing, and studying their rule books and getting ready to go.
All right, well, Spencer, again, and we want to thank Spencer Smith joining Sam and Greg here at Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. On the best of circumstances, one of the things that Sam and I have talked about officiating is the, well, just trying to keep people interested in doing this job. Your quest to always get new officials, given what we have gone through over the last X amount of months, has that been something that you have had to actually work a little bit harder at in getting people to commit to being officials?
Greg, as you can imagine, getting new officials and retaining new officials is a huge obstacle that sports officials associations have to overcome every year. And we're working very hard this year. We've come up with some great recruiting programs to help with our members, help us with recruiting. And believe it or not, we had a nice number of young new members that participated in our meeting and in our first-year officials meeting. We had a little indoctrination meeting for them. It was very well attended. So, yes, recruiting has suffered somewhat, but we're still moving forward trying to attract new young men and women, because remember, guys, flag football for girls is an official GHSA sport starting this fall. So we're going to need more bodies than we've ever needed.
Spending time on the waitforit.com hotline with Spencer Smith. You can follow everything with the GFOA there, our social there on Twitter, at GFOA referee, at GFOA, all capital letters, referee on Twitter. Talk a little bit more about that, because in addition to being prepared as you normally would for regular football season, girls flag football is really starting to take off, and it's going to go statewide. That means more people, more personnel, different set of rules. Those are things you would normally work out in your preseason or in your spring, and you're not getting a chance to do that, at least not on the field.
No, not on the field yet, but we have had a tremendous amount of members of GFOA who have called in the Girls Flag Football League because one of the biggest counties, the county that originated in, was Gwinnett County. So we are very fortunate that we've got some gentlemen that can help us with our training moving forward. And getting that done, and it's also been incorporated into our training sessions, or it will be as the season for them draws closer, to make sure that we've got everybody prepared for that. They will start, I believe, sometime in October as the JV season's winding down, so it won't put a big a crunch on us as you would imagine if we had sub-varsity and the girls flag football both going on at the same time. But it is going to be something that's going to give gentlemen and ladies an opportunity to get some more snaps and see some wonderful football. It is going live across the entire state, and I believe there's just slightly under 200 schools across the state that will be participating in girls flag football this fall.
You know, spending time on the waitforit.com hotline with Spencer Smith, talking about officiating and getting more people involved in it. Because you know what, Spencer, you know, you didn't get a chance to get on the field this spring and do those things. But when you come out there in the fall, the fans and the spectators still expect the officials to get it right. And I don't know how much you guys talk about that. We watch not just with football officiating, but at all sports. You know, officiating is critical, extra critical has been in recent years. I'm sure you told the young officials that are coming in, they got to have a thick skin. That's part of what you have to have in order to do the job.
Absolutely. Thick skin and no rabbit ears. Listen, these young men and women that are out here trying to officiate these games, this is an avocation for them. It's not their vocation. And yes, we're going to have mistakes and things like that are going to happen. We keep them to a minimum, we handle them, and we move forward. But overall, I think the officiating you see in the state of Georgia versus other states across the country is probably some of the better officiating that you're going to see. There's a lot of training that goes into it. And for a majority of associations across the state of Georgia, the emphasis on training, mechanics, rule knowledge, is something that they really, 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 really trying to teach and enforce their guys to make sure they're comfortable with officiating a game, know the rules, are in the right place at the right time to make the right call, and keep the game moving forward. We don't have the instant replay as they do in the other avenues of football, but we still get it right most of the time, and that's the way we're going to keep going to hopefully get better each game.
All right, Spencer, forgive me, but I think me and Sam and you, we're burying the lead here. And that is, and forgive me, I don't know what the actual pay is or how much these officials get per game, but at the end of the day, that's a job. And we hear, as we sit here at the end of May in 2020, there's a whole lot of folks that are looking for any kind of work. And so if that's possible, if you could take a second and let people know who may have been interested or on the fence as far as wanting to be an official, maybe they did it for, you know, when their kids were younger, whatever. But if here's, I'm giving you an opportunity to let people know the attributes of being an official here and where they can find out that information, at least to start the process of registering and finding out if they're qualified.
Great question, Greg. I'm glad you brought it up. The pay in Georgia for high school football officials is the highest range of pay this side of the Mississippi. In a JV sub-varsity game, you're going to average around $65. On a varsity game, the pay scale has just gone. We got a little bit of a raise, and I believe it's $110, $112 for a varsity game when you get a little travel money with that. And then when you get up to the playoff range, you're 125 to 150 for a football game in the playoffs.
So where can people go to let you know that they're interested in becoming an official? Or what's the process?
We would love to hear from anyone that's interested. You could go to www.gfoa.pro and hit the new membership tag, and we would be glad to have someone contact you and discuss exactly what we're doing to proceed and bring you into the land of the black and white stripes.
They're always looking for some people to come out and be a part of things. Spencer, we appreciate you spending some time with us this morning. All the best to you and everyone with GFOA and all of the officials who I know can't wait to get out on the field and you know, all the things you've been doing in your meetings. The virtual world is one thing, but there's nothing else like being out there on the field, learning and staying sharp and being ready for when the games come back. So thank you for spending some time with us this morning. Always good catching up with you.
And stay safe.
All right, gentlemen, thank you, Sam. We appreciate everything you do for Georgia high school football. Thank you, guys. Y'all have a great day.
Thank you.
All right. Stay safe and stay well. That's it, Greg. And like you meant, Greg, there's a good point. You know, just like with casting call right now, you know, whatever there is that's going to be out there, if it's extra work, if it's officiating, people are looking for all of it right now.
All jobs, man. That was the lead right there. That's what we should do. We got an opportunity for you to get a job, albeit part-time, but folks are looking for any way to put some money in their pocket.
Right? Absolutely. So, and it's a way to do something that gives back to your community. You get to play a special role in the lives of a young person. Remember, they can't play the games without the people in the striped jerseys, striped shirts. You got to have them in order to play the game.
when we left last week, we were so excited about what was coming up later on that day, and that was the match for charity. We're going to talk about that match, and obviously you've seen the replays and the split pants and all that stuff that happened, but when I tell you right now, I have got the foursome for next year. Or at least the two they should add. Because they're going to keep Tiger and Phil. That's the draw, those two guys. But I have the two they should use for next year. And it actually started a little back and forth between the three of us when Jahi got in there and basically called me and said, oh, yeah, he did. But that's all right.
Yeah, he did.
You know, that's all right. His perspective. That's coming up. Going to hear from Greg Street in the 7 o'clock hour. And also, NASCAR is back at it. And they have been... well, for lack of a better way to put it, the front runners, if you will, as far as the major sports coming back, UFC too. But we are going to talk to Adam Alexander later on in the show. But next, a little NASCAR talk and what we've seen these past few weeks and what's coming up today, which is right in Mr. Crenshaw's wheelhouse. It's Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Remember, you can check us out on the radio.com app and all your devices, including smart speakers.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.